open with prayer. Lord God, we thank you for today. Thank you that in this Christmas season, we are called to remember you, remember your first coming as well as your second coming yet to be. And I ask that you to anoint my lips to share your word that will give life to people and that you soften their heart to receive. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this week, again, we're going to talk about Christmas. So last week, we talked about the visit of the Magi part of Christmas story in Matthew 2. So this week, we will cover the other gospel that talks about the birth of Jesus, which is Luke chapter 2. I hope this helps us to appreciate the significance of the birth of Son of God on earth, because it marks the Son of God became one of us to deal with our sins by dying in our place before conquering death when he rose from the dead. This is the reason why we can all rejoice over Christmas. So please let us turn to Luke chapter 2, and we'll go from verse 1 to 20. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 20. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and lay him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who was Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. So, The birth of Jesus is the fulfillment of the story of God with his people from the days of Adam and the world. And some of the key points about his birth, I'll just list them first. Jesus is the continuation and the fulfillment of the biblical story of God and Israel. Jesus is no mere man. He is God with us, or in Hebrew, Emmanuel. Jesus is the Messiah, the Messianic King from the line of David, who will bring God's reign and blessings. Also in this Luke chapter 2, you also see that the humble king, Jesus, was born in a dirty manger with the animals instead of in a palace. And he was welcomed on earth by lowly shepherds instead of prince or queens. In Matthew 2, last week, we highlighted that Jesus was also visited by the Magi from the east. And this fulfilled the prophecy from Isaiah 60. The nations will come to honor the Messiah. So Jesus' birth fulfilled many Old Testament prophetic promises. And I'll talk about five of them here regarding the birth of Jesus. And of course, there are more than that. The first one is the virgin will give birth and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. This, as you read, is a fulfillment. This fulfillment was written in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. But I'll read it out here. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." So the prophecy from Isaiah, made more than 700 years earlier, Isaiah 7 verse 14, was this: "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel." So here, this amazing event, virgin birth, demonstrates God's infinite knowledge and power that he is capable to foretell the future with absolute provision, and he has the power to bring his prophecy to pass, even if that means a virgin would need to conceive and bear a son, which is humanly impossible. And only God can do. And after the birth of Jesus, the Magi arrived in Jerusalem. Herod gathered the chief priests and scribes and asked them where the Messiah was going to be born. And last week we heard that they cited the Old Testament prophecy pinpointing Bethlehem as the birthplace of Christ. And so the second prophecy fulfilled was from Micah 5:2. Micah 5:2 is, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." And it was fulfilled in Matthew 4-6. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the line of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." The third prophecy related to the birth of Jesus highlights is it's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 to 13. It's related to David's offspring will have an eternal kingdom. So the first 12 to 13 is, When your days are over and you rest with your ancestor, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And again, in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, is a fulfillment, because Jesus is a son of David. So verse 1, Matthew 1, it's written as, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I know I've highlighted three, and my key point is that Jesus fulfilled all these prophecy in Old Testament many, many years before he was born, and it's something really special about this. I actually got two more related to his birth I should highlight as well. The fourth one, the scepter will come through Judah, and the prophecies from Genesis 49:10. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nation shall be his. The fulfillment was in Luke chapter 3, verse 33. Judah is part of Jesus' genealogy. So the son of Aminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah. And the last one I'll talk about is the Messiah will end up in Egypt. The prophecy for that was in Hosea 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I call my son. And the fulfillment was that we talked about last week in Matthew chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. So he, that's Joseph, got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I call my son. Here, actually, out of Egypt I call my son. It's actually quite an interesting point. In Matthew, this point, out of Egypt call my son, actually highlights one of the things I think Matthew, the author, was trying to say is that Jesus is a new Moses, a savior of the nation of Israel, and much more than that. And there are parallels to their lives. I thought it's quite interesting to share some example of their parallels. So like Moses, Jesus came up out of Egypt. So we just talked about after fleeing from King Herod when he was a baby. And also, Moses crossed the Red Sea, and Jesus passed through the water of baptism in the River Jordan. Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years, and Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. And the last parallel, Moses received the law from Mount Sinai, and Jesus went up to mountain to give the new teaching, the Sermon on the Mount. So yeah, these three points help to show that Jesus is the promised Messiah and is far greater than Moses and the prophets, because he will deliver Israel from slavery, give them new divine teaching, save them from their sins, and bring about new covenant relationship between God and his people. It's quite short, so I'll ask the worship team to play some music. So as we think about the circumstances surrounding Christ's birth, Christian can rejoice that the Messiah has come to earth and deal with our sin. We can praise God for fulfilling His promises. And we can have the complete confidence that He will always be faithful to do what He has declared. Jesus is uniquely special. For example, there are no prophecies foretelling details about the birth of other religious leaders, say Islam, Mormonism, Buddhism, or any other founder of other religions. Old Testament was able to pinpoint numerous details about the life of the Son of God and Savior of the world before He was born. Many other prophecies could be listed that were perfectly fulfilled in the life of Jesus. And I've read that there were over 300 prophecies fulfilled in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. One day, Jesus will return in judgment and will not appear as us, perhaps a helpless baby, but as a risen, glorified, sovereign Lord and Judge. Will you be safe and secure because you have accepted Jesus in your life as Lord and Savior? What about those who don't know Jesus yet? Do you know any of them? What will you do for them? What can you do for them now before Jesus comes again in this special time of Christmas?
Here I am.
Lord God, thank you for coming 2,000 years ago. And thank you for reminding us your second coming. And we know that there are still so many people who don't yet to know you or have heard your gospel. And yes, Lord, help us to use this Christmas time to make you known, so that we could be this vessel, this messenger of your love and of your mouthpiece to proclaim your goodness and who you are, the humble King, the Son of God, who came to earth to save us, so that we might be with you and the Father in the best place for eternity. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to our community prayer. Pray for those who are suffering from cancer and having some therapy. Please also pray for those who are ill and, pray that this Christmas season they will also hear the gospel and learn more about Jesus and a soft heart to receive. Yes, pray for those who suffer from other infirmities, and that this Christmas season will be one that they will share the gospel to people around them, so that more people will just rejoice and celebrate. The reason for Christmas is all about Jesus.
We continue to lift up our church members who are looking for work, that pray for God's provision. Pray that God bless them with gifts this Christmas, that continue to guide them and provide for them. Today we pray for Japan and Cambodia. Pray for Peace Sophia as we are finalizing some details of church planting for Tokyo next year before she gets sent off in February. Also pray for Grace as Christmas season in Cambodia, as her mission-related company will be just so blessed. And also pray for Oasis Hao, P. Jenny O. We also want to cover Missions Council for this upcoming season. Yeah, cover PSAM, and also I think the Missions Councils are starting to plan for mission trips for next year. So just pray for God's divine connections and provision. For local outreach, we have five ministries now: Igape, Homey, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Tomorrow is a Recreation's Christmas outreach in Saigon. Yes, please pray for God's presence there, as well as the team's also planning some activities and testimony sharing that God will just touch hearts and soul and change life. SP Fam, Foster and Adoption Ministry led by Cadence. At the moment, please cover baby orphans staying with Chris and Amy. Yeah, I pray that they experience God's love and something special in this Christmas season as well for the baby. Thank you. This evening we have gathering some IP, SP youth, and SP youth. For IP, there's been a number of people leaving Hong Kong, so the team is quite small. So pray for God to guide Matt, the leader of IP, to connect with the right people, and God's called them to pray for SP and come and join IP. And lastly, let's continue to pray for Hong Kong. Pray for healings of Hong Kong. Healing in all aspects and fullness, because Jesus has come to die and save the world, and that includes Hong Kong. Yeah, pray for full restoration and much more for the people and the city in Hong Kong. Lord God, we thank you so much that you have come to save us, to give us life, to give us hope and a bright future. Help us to continue to remember you and abide in you and seek you in all things, so that we get closer and closer to you and become more like Jesus. And that more and more people will be drawn to you because of your light shining through us. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please continue to take time for your personal prayer time. And see you this weekend. Goodbye.